Hi everyone, this is Xenia Montan and welcome to another episode of People of Marketing podcast, where I talk to top marketers about the story of their careers, the choices, mistakes, wins, and imperfections of their work life. Today we have Jennifer Cacace on the show. She's a digital native and content strategist with more than a decade of experience in marketing, on both the creative agency side and the brand side. She's led social media and digital content for brands and events like the Radio City Rockets, America's Got Talent, and the Tony Awards. Now, Jennifer leads the development and promotion of in-app original content for Pandora, creating editorial programming with talent to reach more than 60 million listeners. Jennifer, thank you so, so much for making time to sit down with me and welcome to the show.
Of course. Thank you. So happy to be here.
Cool. So the way I like to start this is by going a bit back in time, early on in your career and just connecting the dots. What would you say was your first ever interaction with marketing? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I went to school for marketing. That was my major in undergrad business school, and kind of knew throughout college that was what I wanted to do. And then I had my first internship at a media agency in the digital department, actually, but it was in the summer of 2006. So
not that much digital.
That looked very different than my current digital role. I was buying banner ads and screenshots of websites, very different, but I loved it. I loved like working at an agency, working so collaboratively with people. I love the digital aspect of seeing something go live and then seeing numbers immediately and tracking. It was just kind of like the start of all. So that's when I was kind of hooked, and just kind of did a bunch of different related things since then.
Do you remember what got you into marketing in the first place? Like, why did you choose to study that exactly?
Yeah, I remember when I was starting, I was thinking communications, like starting college, I was thinking like communications, journalism. I was on the high school newspaper editor. So I liked, I guess now I would call it creating content. Well, I never would have called it that, 10 or 15 years ago. And I also like I love the aspect of explaining something to people and getting a message to consumers, listeners, whatever you want to call it, but just telling people about a brand, a purpose, a message, and then watching how that message resonates with them. Like, that's always been really interesting to me. I took like some psychology classes in college, and some were even related to the marketing major, but I think it's that whole human aspect. And I love when you see a TV commercial, or now when you see an Instagram post or a placement in an app, that you have the power to create that, and not only know that you're making the thing that people are seeing, but then even seeing how they are receiving it and making it better and seeing if it does better next time. Like, that's all just very exciting to me.
Take us a bit through your career. I know at some point you were in the agency world, more specifically, I think focused on the healthcare industry, right? And then you changed on the brand side in the entertainment / radio industry. But take us, quickly through your career. How did you make those choices? How did the transitions feel to you? And why did you make them in the first place?
Sure. My first job, I was looking initially for something in advertising or media agencies. Like I said, I interned 2 summers at a media agency on the digital team and then the brand team. And I liked that, but it was kind of like coming back home to New York City right after college and looking for a job. So I was looking at any media or advertising agencies. And then I had a family friend who did HR at a pharmaceutical advertising agency, which I didn't even know existed at the time. But I was like, great, took an interview, and they were kind of in a position where they were like, we need someone to start like this Monday. And this was like a Thursday. They were like, so can you start freelance with us? Like, we are just like really need account help on whatever. So I was at first like, oh, I need a job. I don't want to do freelance. But then I was also like, this sounds great. And of course, it ended up working out. Like, I was freelance for a few months, and then as a full-time position, and I was able to take that. But it was interesting. Like I said, I had never thought about healthcare or really knew that it is such a tight network of agencies who have healthcare clients, because it's such a specialized knowledge base, how to work with within FDA guidelines and with pharmaceutical companies, there's so many more layers than consumer brands. So I really enjoyed that additional challenge. And I also liked kind of the purpose human aspect of working on healthcare brands, because of course it's, you know, I've worked on antidepressants and vaccines and it's kind of things that are helping people, which was something that was always important to me. And I wasn't quite sure how it would end up fitting in, but it was a great fit. So yeah, I worked at two different ad agencies, got some great experience, worked with creative people for the first time in that capacity throughout my, you know, like high school, college. I didn't really have a lot of that interaction, but I started working with art directors and copywriters and video production companies and just learning about all that for the first time, which I really enjoyed. And then I was in an account role at my second ad agency, which I was really enjoying. And then a friend randomly sent me an opening for a brand marketing manager with the Rockettes, because I love the Rockettes personally. So I like grew up dancing and on Long Island, right outside New York, and I would go see the Rockettes every year, and I wanted to be a Rockette, and I auditioned for the Rockettes before I got a job, but I wasn't like a serious dancer. I just specifically loved the Rockettes. So someone was kind of, you know, probably half of the joke, like, hey, there's a marketing manager position open for the Rockettes. And I was like, what? That is crazy. So I ended up finding out that a family friend had a connection to someone who worked there on a different side of the Rockettes team. And the Rockettes are part of Madison Square Garden. So it's part of that company. And I applied and got the interview through my connections, even though I'm sure my pharmaceutical advertising resume wouldn't have shown up on the head of brand's desk as a very relevant fit for the Rockettes. But I got in there, and then I think my kind of passion shone through and just ability to, it was funny how like difficult yet so easy it was to transfer skills from one thing that seems like a completely different job than another, but is the same, just working with people, you know, developing creative, understanding a consumer audience, how to speak to people, like running campaigns. It's all like so similar. So I was just, and I think the challenge is a lot of times it's hard to get that job that you know you can do, but your paper resume doesn't say that you've specifically done it before. That's like a common challenge. So I was lucky to move over there. That was kind of my transition from agency to brand.
That's such an amazing story. I'm wondering if you had someone early on in your career, like a role model in marketing when you're just starting out. Did you follow anyone for advice or inspiration? Did you get, you know, guidance from someone?
Yeah, I loved, in agencies, I just really admired a lot of my early supervisors, because I would, you know, be sitting in with them and the clients and, you know, absorbing what the client's plans were for the brand and who they wanted to reach and how and what the budgets were and then like unique challenges. And then in like the account management role in an agency, we would then go back to the internal team, the creative team, production, all that, and carry out the client's vision and asks, but then, you know, put our own plan together based on that. So I that's not a specific person, but I know that that was like the main thing that I really enjoyed learning. It's just things you can talk about in a classroom, but you don't really get until you're practicing it. And I was like, wow, like, I like this.
Yeah. The best experience is experience, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering now today, tell us a bit about your current role at Pandora. What does a typical day look like in your work life? Walk us a bit through your day.
Yeah, sure. Pandora is now part of SiriusXM. So it's been an exciting past year, and there's just a lot more opportunity open to our combined companies. So we're SiriusXM has so many stations and talent coming in every day. Now we at Pandora can take advantage of that. And part of my role is bridging that gap between the talent coming through Sirius and the programming there that's already being booked and created, and creating editorial programming on Pandora on the app. So of course there's some differences between live radio and an on-demand app experience, but we, that's kind of my day-to-day, is just whoever's coming through or whatever opportunities are coming up or events and whatnot, is kind of looking at that and then putting together a plan for what Pandora would like. And then, you know, all the aspects from scripting, interviewing, distribution, promotion, I kind of liaise with all of our own channels, paid channels, as well as internally with our content team, talent team, on kind of getting the best content for Pandora listeners.
Do you have a specific routine for your, you know, day-to-day work, or maybe a specific routine for your morning? What's like the first thing you check on your phone in the morning?
Yeah, my phone in the morning, it's emails from the West Coast because Pandora's headquarters are in Oakland. So right. We work with a lot of folks, and as well as in LA. So that's kind of basic. We also program promotional modules in the app to surface new or exclusive content to listeners. So I'm also kind of looking at that in the morning. What's happening? Are awards nominees being announced? Is there a new album coming out? Do we have an exclusive playlist with an artist talking about their music that you can only find on Pandora that we want to put in the Pandora app and showcase to reach listeners of that artist? That's kind of my day-to-day.
I'm wondering if you have some specific industries outside of music and entertainment that you follow for like inspiration, or, you know, just to get outside of your zone of kind of comfort, explore other industries. Is there something like that?
You mean on social media or just in general, like following?
Just in general. Yeah. Just in general, like following the use to maybe the music industry. I mean, obviously the music industry, because it's very relevant to your day-to-day work, but maybe outside of radio and entertainment, maybe you have like, I don't know, fashion or something that you get inspiration for your own work.
Yeah. This is a little closer, but we definitely look at like streaming services. I always find it interesting. Like I watch like, you know, Netflix and Hulu and HBO, right, and then Disney Plus and Apple TV. So those are really, of course, like taking off and evolving and new ones developing constantly. And often thinking about the comparison to Pandora in the way that, for example, TV streaming providers showcase exclusive content and get it out there. You know, we're always thinking like, if there's a Good Will Hunting is so popular on Netflix, but then they launch an exclusive show, how do they, you know, like, it's like you could either keep promoting the things that people are always watching, like Good Will Hunting, but then there's also a balance with promoting like a new exclusive show. And that's a lot of what we're doing at Pandora is, of course, the music that everyone likes to listen to. And it's just, it's the bones of how Pandora works is surfacing you music you like that's personalized to you, but then also launching new and exclusive content as all of us in the media industry are doing today. So I look to that for sure.
That makes total sense. Going back to kind of your work, day-to-day work, how do you maintain a productive week? I know you have lots of meetings, there's a lot of stuff. How do you manage to, you know, stay focused, plan your work, you know, schedule tasks? Any tips around productivity or getting the most out of your day?
Yeah, we're a big Google Doc company, which I love. So it's kind of understood that there's a lot of, there's different documents that various groups can reference for kind of the latest. So I find that helpful in eliminating meetings sometimes that maybe you need to meet about something weekly for a little while as it's getting off the ground. But then if it's all based in like a certain document and you can create a process that then you can replicate every week or month or whatever it is, then more and more you can, like ideal cases, like to have less meeting time and more just kind of in the documents. And we also heavily use Slack. So say any given project has like a weekly meeting agenda that's linked in there that also just has like notes about the topic, and then a Slack channel for that project, and, you know, maybe like a status report also in Google Docs. So it's funny coming in the first week of the year, kind of reevaluating those exact processes for various projects and trying to like consolidate or streamline or, oh, wow, no one's using these four columns that we asked groups to fill out in this document. Like, let's take them out.
Yeah. Here.
So I'm always kind of looking at stuff like that and being mindful of like people's times and meetings, but then also kind of not being afraid to set up longer meetings for discussions where we're not sure that we have the exact right strategy or approach down yet. So I think that's important too. Like, as much as you never want an hour or 2 hour meeting on the calendar, if it's, you know, like with our team and we know we have to nail this because we know we're gonna have to do it over and over again, like, let's not just email about it. Like, let's get in a room and figure it out. So it's kind of that balance too.
Yeah, it's just faster and cleaner sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So besides Pandora, of course, What company do you personally think is doing great marketing today?
Yeah, I mentioned Netflix and Hulu already, but always looking to them, and Netflix's social is just so impressive to me. And yeah, how Hulu can launch Handmaid's Tale and, you know, everyone knows about it. You know, it's all so impressive, and like the media mix, and they just seem to reach the right people in the right places in the right ways that you never feel like you're like really being advertised to. It just feels authentic, you know. Oh, I passed it on the subway. I saw it in my Instagram feed. I see it on my TV when I turn it on, you know. It's like so impressive to me.
So on this show, I like to ask about the bad and the ugly as well, you know, not just the good stuff that happens to us, the inspiring stuff. So I'm curious, what would you consider the lowest point in your career? Obviously, you know, every journey is just a roller coaster for every one of us. So I'm wondering, what's the lowest point that you've ever experienced, and how did you get over it?
Yeah, I think when there was like a couple years when I had just changed to the brand side, that I think I felt like anything new is exciting. And then I kind of settled in, and there was like a year or two where I felt like maybe somewhat stagnant, and kind of, I learned everything. I was doing what I needed to do. But I couldn't see like the upward path, which I think kind of happens to people depending on where they are in their career.
Yeah.
I didn't have a great relationship with my manager. I wasn't getting like kind of the feedback that I was looking for, or reviews, or, you know, like recognition of advancement or anything like that.
Yeah.
So of course you start looking for jobs when that happens. That's the natural thing. But
right.
That's what I can think of as the lowest point. But of course, like then to come from there, it's just a turning point, that it's just kind of like a hinge where then you just twist and it takes off in a different direction than you came in from, you know. That's kind of what happened to me.
Wow. Okay. did you have like any habits or skills on like, okay, that was like the lowest point that you had with your career, but with yourself personally, with your personal development, like what habits or skills did you struggle the most to develop? We're always trying to improve ourselves. And I'm curious if you have any current ones that you're also trying to improve in the present moment.
Yeah, I think especially in times like that, like making the relationships that you form with the people around you and who you work with are so important. And I think in the beginning, I probably didn't realize how important that was. It was like, make sure you get along with your team and your boss kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as I've progressed, especially coming to the brand side, or, you know, now in a media company, it's just so important to like, the more you can go have an in-person conversation or go get a coffee or, you know, just talk to someone instead of like an email or a Slack whenever possible. Those relationships are so important. And then you never know down the line, 3, 6 months, whatever, you end up working more closely together on a project and you're like, oh, I already, you know, have a relationship with that person. We are on the same coffee schedule. So I chat with whatever it may be. Like, It's never a waste of time to create a relationship with someone you work with. And then if you do find yourself at like a low point and there's another opening in another department, or someone can help you, or someone can talk to someone that you're having a challenge with, like it's so invaluable to have those like real relationships.
Talking about low points and, you know, just talking about challenges and frustrations, can you tell us about a campaign or a work project that you'd like to go back in time and do over? I think that's something I noticed in podcasts, that it's usually just the good stuff. And I want to go a bit into, I don't want to call them failures, but like things you're not, you know, 100% satisfied with. I want to see how people think about them and what they learned from them, and how they see failures in general.
Yeah. I think I wouldn't necessarily call it a failure, but kind of the like when we work often in like events or festivals or award shows and stuff, you know, now at Pandora, and before these events, there's always just like a ton of opportunity. So if we work with like 5 artists a day on any given basis at a festival, it's 30 artists a day.
Yeah.
So when like the first time we started doing this, I kind of came away and was like, wow, I wish I prepared so much more in advance for like how to handle our time and where to focus and like what we wanted to get out of each day or opportunity. It was fine, but I just like personally, I'm a big planner and organizer, and I just like to know what we're doing and what success is going to look like. And then, you know, just have plenty of prep. So, kind of since that first experience, I made sure, you know, before like an event or an award show, like at least 3 weeks out, I'll start talking to all the different teams that we work with and what does everyone want out of this? What are we looking to get? How are we going to approach it? You know, setting up schedules, documents. And as much as some people hate that stuff, it's what allows, in my opinion, allows us to like actually produce great work, or else we could just spend all of our time emailing or after the fact, you know, which is worst case scenario, after the fact, kind of going back and forth when you've already like captured, you know, said audio, photo, video, whatever it may be. So yeah, I guess that's something that I definitely try to do now that I learned from is the appropriate enough preparation can't be done for some kind of really, you know, high profile, busy event to make sure your team gets the most out of it.
Yeah. On the same tone of lessons and things you wish you knew, I'm wondering, what do you wish you knew when you were just starting out in your career? Like, what advice would you give to someone just starting out in this world or to yourself a few years ago?
I think I didn't foresee how much technology would be involved in and shape what I do.
Yeah.
And it seems kind of obvious, and of course, isn't every industry could probably say the same thing. But like I said, I was, you know, doing banner ads in the digital department in 2006, and I was like, oh, I like digital, and like, who knew it would turn into like, you know,
such a big
video
thing.
Content, yeah. And paid social, and it's things that just didn't even exist. And I guess somewhat related to that is like just to make sure that you don't feel so tied to the path that you thought you were going to take. Like I was like, oh, okay, marketing, digital, you know, and then I was like, okay, advertising agencies. And then I was like, oh, I'm on the brand side doing marketing. Am I still advertising? Am I still doing digital? Like those kind of things are just shifting so rapidly for our industry that like, you know, or I can start proclaiming myself a Snapchat expert, and then next year everyone's on TikTok, and you know, like it's going to be more helpful, I think, like to focus on your skills and your experience and like what you've done, but with the mindset that it's going to be transferable to something else. It's not like, I don't know, accounting, where if you know how to handle people's finances, it's going to be somewhat similar every year, or like you get really good at it for 30 years. Like the thing we want to be good at in marketing is like a skill set and content creation and like distribution, like just those core pillars that, so that then the type of content and the place that it lives and the way we can find the audience, that can shift if you know kind of like the pillars of what you're doing.
That's just such a great answer. I'm thinking, you know, about like choosing your priorities in terms of investment. You know, trends come and go, but if you invest in core skills, as you described them, you're, you know, always going to be able to count on them no matter what, you know, the future is going to bring up. So I love this. What I wanted to ask next is I wanted to talk about buzzwords today, like our industry is full of them. And I'm curious, what's like your one belief or buzzword that's trending today that's like really, really annoying you that you disagree with? Do you have something like that?
Yeah, this is kind of an old one, but I feel like we still hear people saying, let's make a viral video.
Ooh, which... yes. Dude, let's plan it.
Yeah, let's do it. And, you know, doing digital content for like 10 years, you're like, that happens. Like, let's focus on creating a good video, meaning yeah. Like, let's have a brief, let's know what it's meant to accomplish, let's know the parameters we're working in and who is going to see it and how they're going to see it. And like, you know, people just skip to like, oh, I saw this viral video of a flash mob on an airplane and it was amazing, we should do one. It's like, whoa, you just skipped all the way from like, let's make a video to like, this is the execution. And that middle part is so important, you know. It's like separating the results that people see in social media for content and whatnot from like how to make good content. It's like everyone same with like TikTok, right? Like everyone's super into TikTok right now, but the thing you hear is like, let's make a TikTok video. It's like, again, let's like make a good piece of content and learn how to do that. And then like, we'll make sure it's optimized and it will do well on TikTok. It's within that, you know?
Yeah, I guess just keeping just the strategy and going directly to something that you've already seen. And, you know, people are getting inspired by that stuff, but they kind of forget a bit about what's the actual problem that you're trying to solve, what's, you know,
right,
all the strategy and the audience and all of that. But I guess that the power of trends, they just get you so hyped.
Yeah, and the videos that do anything that does succeed and is trending started from like a solid idea with a brief purpose, you know?
Or maybe just a bit of luck. Sometimes it is luck.
So definitely. Yeah.
But you can't replicate any of those. So yeah, you just have to follow your own strategy in the end. So talking about work, how do you de-stress or how do you clear your head when you're away from work? What do you do to, you know, just be productive when you're getting back to work?
Yeah. I'm lucky enough to be able to, you know, kind of shut down on say like a weekend, for example, not all the time, but kind of the best for me is not thinking about it. And then I can come back in with a fresh perspective, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a great answer. I watched a movie last night and it was like 2 hours of where I was like completely consumed in the movie. And I was like, wow, that was healthy. Like, it was just so good there's so many distractions all the time that like, I think things like that, exercises of just like total shutting off or what have you, like taking a real vacation of like days where you don't check your email just make you so much better at work. And if you can trust the people around you to take care of things like that, those are the things for me that keep me like energized.
Yeah, that's extremely crucial. In one vacation, I just deleted my Slack and my email app because, you know, I knew that it's going to be such a temptation to just check them. So I made it as hard as possible for myself to do that. So I can't agree more with you on that one. So
exactly.
I want to end this episode with this rapid fire questions that we usually have. So 4 questions, quick answers, and I'll start with the first one. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Perfect. So if you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today, what else would you do?
Ooh, could I be a Rockette?
Yes, you can. Good.
Okay, then that.
Perfect. What's your favorite app or tool you use at work? I know you mentioned Slack and Google Docs. Is there anything else that you really love, or would that be the ones, your favorite ones?
Google Docs.
Google Docs forever. Perfect. Good. Worst advice you've ever received?
Someone once advised me not to share all of the information with people that we were working with and to kind of just only share what that person needed to know, and then we'll figure it out on the back end ourselves.
Oof. Yeah, that sucks.
Kind of to be really bad advice.
Yes. Okay, good. And talking about TikTok, what's your favorite social media network, if you have one?
Instagram.
Great. Mine too. Jennifer, this was such an amazing conversation. I really had fun. I'm wondering, where can people learn more about you and, you know, maybe potentially reach out if they want to ask, you know, a few follow-up questions?
Yeah, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Good.
Yep. Great.
Well, thank you so much again for taking the time to share your story. It was really fun catching up with you. And thank you again for everyone listening. Stay tuned and till next time.
Thank you.